We're coming down home stretch. Has everybody found page 5 in your book for today? Now listen up. Those of you who've brought applications today to hand in, you will be handing those in after 12 o'clock today. And don't worry about not getting pizza. Believe me, there's plenty of pizza. We have 120 pizzas, okay? And while some of you are turning your applications in, others will be eating and vice versa. So don't be worried about turning an application in and missing the food or something like that. Now, after our 12 o'clock ending today, we will remain in here. Those of you that are in this sanctuary, you will remain in here for just a little while the things are being set up in the gymnasium. And I have some things I want you to do during those few minutes that you're waiting in here. However, I want you to know, we will have interviewers. Now don't let that word scare you. They're just going to receive your application and talk to you for just a little bit. Those people, they're youth leaders from all your churches. They will be seated just out the doors here, a couple of them will be seated back over in this area, just beyond the wall here, in that little lounge area. And about 14 of them will be seated upstairs in another wing. There will be arrows and signs just outside to direct you to where they are. Now I want to ask you to do this. As you turn in your application, I want you to look for your youth leader. Now we did not have a chance to invite all the youth leaders today. Please don't feel badly, leaders, if you did not receive a letter on this. We just quickly grabbed a bunch of them and sent letters to them. But look, young people, look for your youth leader. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? When you go to turn your application in, look for your youth leader and go to him or her to hand in your application. If your youth leader is not doing interviewing at that time, that's fine. Just go to one of the others, okay? No problem at all. But I would advise you to look for your youth leader, and then if you cannot find your youth leader interviewing, then just turn it in to one of the others. Do you understand? We're going to do that after 12 o'clock today. Now, on page 5, you have something called My Commitment Instructions for Counselors. You need to study this carefully before the crusade. Those of you that are planning to counsel at the Explosion 2 rally on March the 17th, you also need to know this well before you begin counseling. This tells you how to use that little My Commitment folder that we just went over. Okay? It will tell you how to use it. The little icebreaker. Tell you how you should proceed. There's no way we can go over that now. There's too much detail. But I want you to study it carefully. Let me make another announcement to you. Do you have your pen or pencil? Write it down in a place where you can find it. This is just for you guys, just for those of you who've taken the youth class. April 21. Are you writing? April 21, 1:30 p.m. Knickerbocker Arena. Let me say it again. April 21, 1:30 p.m. Knickerbocker Arena. That is your special counselor rehearsal. We're asking all of you that are going to be counselors to be there at the NIC 1:30 p.m. on that Saturday. Now, we also invite you and ask you to stay for the regular counselor rehearsal right after that. The reason for this 1:30 meeting, there are many things we've not been able to cover in the class. We want to go over them at that time. You need to know them if you're going to counsel. We invite you to stay for the 3 o'clock rehearsal with all the counselors. There'll be over 2,000 of us there getting ready for the very next day when the crusade begins. All right? Now, locate in your book, page 7, please. Here we go. Page 7. It says at the top, "My friend or someone with whom I've counseled has just made a commitment to Jesus Christ. What can I do to help?" Now, not only do we want you to counsel with them at the crusade, but there are 3 things I'm asking you to do after that, okay? I want you to write them down for me. After you have counseled with someone at the crusade, the first thing I'm asking you to do is contact him or her. contact the person. Okay? Three ways you can do that. The most common way is going to be by phone. You can make a phone call to them. Now, what do you say? I want you to call them within 24 to 48 hours after you've counseled with them. So if you counsel on a Monday night at the first youth night, you need to call them the very next day or at the latest on Wednesday. Okay? Say, hi, my name is, I spoke with you at the crusade the other night. How are things going? It was really a pleasure for me to meet with you then and pray with you. I'm excited to know that you've begun a walk with Jesus Christ. And then just talk to them about how things are going. You may find that they're a little bit discouraged. You want to encourage them. Okay? You may want to invite them to some youth event that you know of that's going on in the Capital District where a lot of churches are coming together. Whatever. You need to encourage them and help them to get into the Bible. Now, another way you might do that is by a letter. Now, particularly if the person you counsel does not live in your calling area. If they live long distance from where you are, you'd have to do a long distance call. You may want to write them a letter. All right? And possibly if they live close to you, a visit. Personal visit. Now, in some cases, that may be possible. If they live in your neighborhood, or if your mom and dad can give you a ride there, or if you've got a car of your own, can get there, great. Personal visit would be fine. In fact, that would probably be better than these other ways. But I want you to do one of these three, or a combination of them. At least one of them, though. Contact the person. Okay, number two, I want you to invite them back. Invite them back. Now, we see young people that come to Christ in the first part of the crusade. They go out and they start talking to their friends, and they bring their friends to the crusade, and their friends also come to know Christ. There was a guy in the Denver Crusade in 1987. He felt that it was impossible for all of his friends. He had about 10 friends that he was pretty close with. None of them knew Christ. He was the only Christian in that little group. And he felt that it was impossible for all of his friends to come to know Christ. Yet he prayed for them faithfully. He talked with them about Jesus and about the crusade. He invited them to come. And he had the privilege of seeing all 10 of them make commitments to Jesus Christ. It can happen. Now, I don't want anyone to be very discouraged if on the first youth night, your friends that you bring do not make a commitment. Keep praying for them. We have a lot more nights of the crusade. There are a lot more opportunities, possibly, for them to commit to Christ. But you need to be faithful in praying for them. But I don't want you to give up if they don't make a commitment on the night that you bring them. Keep praying and keep encouraging them. And finally, I want you to write check environment. Check the environment that they're going back to. Now, what I mean by this, if they're going back to a Christian home, their mom and dad are both fine Christians, they got brothers and sisters that are encouraging them in their walk and so on, then chances are you don't need to keep in close contact with them. All right? If, on the other hand, nobody in their family is a Christian, their dad thinks it's the stupidest thing in the world, their mom could care less, then you need to keep in contact with them for a while at least. Encourage them, because it's going to be very tough for them to walk with Christ in a household like that, isn't it? Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've got a similar situation. It's going to be very tough unless they have a lot of good encouragement. So contact the person, invite them to come back, and check the environment they're going back to. We found that in short, people who make a commitment to Christ, they need someone that can encourage them. Someone, not something. You want to invite them to a youth event if it's going on, but that's not the main thing they need. What they need is some person or individuals that can help them grow in Christ. All right, turn the page. Number eight. Page number eight. Page number eight. Now, some of you may be feeling right now, wow, this is kind of overwhelming. Could God really use me in this crusade? Could God really use me on March 17 at the explosion rally? I just don't think I have the ability to do this. I can't talk. I'm just like the guy who didn't want to witness about the car accident. Man, get somebody else who's an expert. I'll sit back and watch. I don't know if God can really use me. Well, an important thing to look at, on top of page 8, it says, what do I need to serve? Now, I want you to write down two words here. The first word is ability. The second word is availability. Now, how many of you think that ability is the most important thing that you need to serve? Can I see your hands? Okay. How many of you think that availability is the most important? I think you're right. All of these verses of Scripture, and you can look them up in your youth groups, and I ask the youth leaders to really go over these things and focus on them. All of these talk about people that didn't think they could do it. They didn't think God could use them at all. Every one of these talk about people that God called to do something, and they all gave objections. Wait a minute, God, I'm too young. That's what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6. I'm just a child. I can't speak. Moses said the same thing. Lord, I just don't have this ability. And what God said to all these people is, it's not your ability that's most important, it's your availability. Now I want you to move on down the page there, and you have two more blanks. It says, where am I now in my relationship to Christ? Philippians 1:21 says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 2:21 says, everybody seeking after their own interest, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now in Philippians 1:21, it describes a situation where Christ is Lord. Christ is the Lord of that situation. He's the Lord of Paul's life. In the second chapter, verse 21, it's a situation where I am Lord of my own life. I'm seeking after my own interest. I'm doing my own thing. Forget about Jesus Christ. I don't want anything to do with His claims on my life. Just don't ask me to give up my own interest. And you know, now it's crutch time. John, a moment ago, talked about being committed unto death. You realize in the next 6 or 7 weeks, you've got opportunities like you'll never have again with this crusade coming. And we've got to ask ourselves the question, where am I? And if I'm not where I want to be, where would I like to be? What about you tonight? Are you right here? Is Christ really the Lord of your life? Are you willing to say, Lord, show me what you want me to do? Or are you over here? If you had to be honest, you're on the throne of your own life. It's an important question. Every one of us need to answer it. And finally, are you multiplying your life? I want you to write down the word multiply, and then in parenthesis put die to self. John 12:24 talks about a grain of wheat falling into the ground. And unless it falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. All of us have to die to ourselves. Second word is invest. I-N-V-E-S-T. Invest. The things that you're hearing today, the things that you heard last week, the things that you hear from your pastors and your youth leaders, you need to take those things and invest them in somebody else. You see, one of the reasons I'm so excited about being here today and being just a small part of this is that I get a chance to invest in you. And if any of you walk on with the Lord and become what He really wants you to be in your lives, even more so than you are right now, then see, I've had an investment in that, and you can have the same investment in the lives of other people. Jesus Christ invested in people when He was on the earth, and then those people went out and changed the world. The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, a young man who was just like you are, he said, Timothy, the things that you've heard of me, from me, I want you to commit those things to faithful women and men so that they in turn can pass it on to somebody else. It's a vision for investing. Would you be willing to be an investment broker and share what God has given you with someone else? Then I want you to write, start with one. Some of you are saying, look, I don't have a lot of people that I can talk to. I mean, I just don't even know where to begin. Begin with one person. Is there one person that you know of that you could share this with? And then finally, stay. with one. What do I mean by that? You remember a while ago we said that when a person makes a commitment to Christ, what they need is someone, not something. We want you to stay with them. Stay with them. But an important principle here, down at the bottom of your page where you see the root, fruit, and shoot, we call this the law of the agronomist. Law of the agronomist. What does the law of the agronomist say? There has to be an equal amount of root for shoot. You know what we mean by shoot? When a little plant grows up out of the ground from a seed and it breaks through the soil and then it grows on up, that's the shoot part of it. Like a stalk of corn. Now the ear of corn on the stalk of corn, that's the fruit. But the stalk of corn is the shoot. Now, what am I trying to say? Friends, if you've got no root, if you're not really rooted in the Word of God, you don't really have a solid relationship with Him yourselves, then there's going to be no shoot. And if there's no shoot, there's going to be no fruit. Equal amount of root for shoot. No root, no shoot, no fruit. Last page. Page 9. It's crunch time. How are we going to begin to reach out to our friends? How are we going to reach out? I want you to just listen to me and write the words. The first thing we need to do is look around us. Write down the words, look around. Look around. Your mission field is all around you. Look around. And later on, we're going to be asking you to write down the names of some people that you could begin to pray for and reach out to. Number two, look up. Because God changes people through prayer. Number two is look up. Because God changes people through prayer. Number three, look out. What do we mean by that? Look out. Look for ways to cultivate friendships. Ways to cultivate friendships with unchurched people. For number one is look around. Number two is look up. Number three is look out. Number four, look forward. Invite your friends to the crusade. Look forward for opportunities to invite your friends to the crusade. Now, as you leave here today, we're going to have little invitation pieces like this right outside the door. Okay? These are only for the crusade. Do not use these for the explosion rally. All right? These are not for the explosion rally. You can tell your friends about the explosion rally. Tell them all about it. Invite them to come. But these are for the crusade in April. Little invitation pieces. You can get them by the hundreds out here. Youth leaders, you need to pick these up by the hundreds. Give them to your young people. You can go to the mall on a Saturday and give these out. It says, your invitation to a higher calling. A lot of our friends need a higher calling than what they're walking in right now. This is their invitation to a higher calling. Pick them up as you leave today. And finally, number five, it says, look after. Look after. What we mean by that is after they make a commitment to Christ, help them to grow in Him. Number one, look around. Number two, look up. Number three, look out. Number four, look forward. And number five, look after. We're going to see something right now that many of you have seen before. I want you to let it minister to you again. Every time that this film is seen, it can minister to a different part of our life. Some of you have not seen it before. I want you to look at it, listen at it prayerfully. It's called Without Reservation. And I want you to let God speak to your heart today through the film Without Reservation. Thankful, meek, and pure.
compassion. May it be that one with God. May it never be contrary. May it never be at odds. May it always be forgiving. May it never know conceit. May it always be encouraged. May it never know defeat. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let your love grow cold. May it always stay inside. May it never grow too old. Don't let your heart be hardened.
Thank you. morning, John Conway. The block Saturday morning. Some big truck. People screaming and running all around us. Just confusion.
Thank you.
These all seem so senseless, such a waste. Four precious, no lives, snatched away in instant, without warning.
Thank you.
been in marriage.
I'd like to ask you to take out those cards that you filled out earlier. Everyone take the card, please. Take out your pen, whatever you have to write with. I know that you may be feeling a number of things right now. I'd say that there are two basic responses to this film. One of those responses is from those who have not yet been introduced to Jesus Christ, and you're feeling tension knowing that your reservation is not confirmed. Others may be feeling tension because you do know Jesus and yet you've been silent about your faith. If you in this past week or you today are saying, I have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I receive Him as my Savior, I commit my life to Him as Lord, I want you to indicate that on this card by simply checking that first box that says Acceptance of Christ. Now this is only for those of you who've done this in the past week. Are you this morning for the first time are saying, I mean business, I'm going to walk with Jesus? I want to indicate that today by checking this box. I'd like to just personally write a letter of congratulations to you if you do that, if you check that box, and encourage you in your walk. Now, there may be some of you who have rededicated your life or you came into this experience not really knowing where you stood with Jesus. And if someone had said to you, hey, what about you? Where do you stand? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to go to heaven? Where will you go if you die? You wouldn't have known what to say. You were just very fuzzy, very uncertain. And yet you know now that you are ready to meet Him. If that has happened to you in this time, I want you to check the second box that says Assurance of Salvation. If you know that you were a Christian before, you know you were walking with God, and yet you had gotten off of His pathway and you've made a significant rededication, I want you to check that box, please. If there's any other thing. Maybe something about which you'd like to talk with someone. Maybe you'd like to speak with someone about it at a later time. I'd like for you to check the other box and just make mention of what you'd like to talk about on the card. Okay? Now, I want you to hang on to that just a moment. In a moment, we'll be collecting those. You received today in your little blue book a little Operation Andrew brochure that looks something like this. Operation Andrew, I want you to take it out right now. Now, this little brochure, Operation Andrew and Prayer Triplets, on the first page, down under number one, where it says, look around, this could be the beginning of your friends coming to Christ. They need someone who cares enough about them to tell them about Jesus. As you watch the film today, which character did you identify with most? Was it Bill, the guy who was the Christian, but he never had told his friends about it? Was it one of the other characters? Which one did you identify with most? I'm sure that each of us would have someone that we identified with very strongly on the film. One thing is for sure, if we know Jesus, the best way that we can love our friends is to tell them about Jesus. It's the best way we can show them that we love them. I want you to right now, write down the names of the friends that you are going to believe God for. You're going to believe that God will draw them to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and you're willing to say, Lord, use me to do that. I want you to write their names down right here where it says prayer list in the little box on the brochure. I want you to just jot their name. There may be a couple of friends. You may be able to put 7 or 8 names there. But I want you to write them in right now. These are people you know. They may be in your homeroom at school. Maybe in a class, play sports with them. You hang out with them, go to movies with them. You know these people and they do not know Christ. And you're going to pray for them and ask God to help you to reach them. Write down their names right now. Okay. Now, you know, you need to pray for them every day and ask God every morning, Lord, give me opportunities to share with these people. Now, in these moments while we're waiting here, we're going to let you know as soon as we're ready to release today. Things are still being set up. We have just a few more moments yet. You also receive the Steps to Peace with God track today. Looks something like this. Steps to Peace with God. We have just a few moments here. I'm going to ask you, without getting loud, very quietly and yet loud enough so you can hear each other, I want you, one of you, to share this track with a friend. Now, all that's going to mean is that one of you will take the track, and to someone near you, you will basically go over the track. Now, you may need to actually read it step by step, but this is a practice session right now. This is a good way to practice how to share your faith verbally with someone. And while you're doing that, your youth leaders, those that are going to be doing the interviewing, need to make their way out to their stations. You're going to be in here just a few more moments together. Then you're going to have time to talk, to eat some pizza, have a good time, walk around, go to the restroom, whatever you need to do. But right now, I'm going to be walking around. I'm going to be looking around. I don't want to see anyone giggling, laughing. I love to do that as much as anybody, but right now is not the time for it. What I want you to do is to be sharing this with someone. If you cannot find a partner, I want you to read it yourself. Just look at it and go over it yourself. It's only going to be for a few moments, and I'll tell you when to finish. It's not going to go on forever, but I want you to begin right now. Begin right now. Find a partner and begin to share the track with them. right. Can I have your attention, please? Please take your buff cards right now. You were actually quite good during that time. Take your buff cards, and we need to pass them to the center aisle right now. Pass the buff card to the center aisle. They will be collected for you. Pass them to the center aisle, quickly. Everyone needs to have a card.
Thank you.
You guys are great. Thanks. Pass those on in. Now, as you're doing that, let me tell you about the way to make up a class. If you were not here last week, those of you who were not here last week need to listen to this. If you were not here last week, the date you need to come back to the church here is March 31. That's the way you make up last week. You will only be here for 2 hours instead of three. You need to be here from 8:30 to 10:30. March 31, in order to qualify to be a counselor, if you did not take last week's class. Now, some of you may have gotten into a class, one of the regular classes, not the youth class, one of those that was in a weeknight. If you took weeks 1 and 2 of that, and you're here today, and you're going to turn in your application today after taking this class, you can still qualify. The point is, you have to have the four classes covered. You have to have the four classes covered. So, if you need to make it up, come March 31, 8:30 to 10:30. Now, those of you that are handing in applications, don't forget to get them in today. You need to give them to one of the interviewers. Look for your youth leader. If you cannot find your youth leader at one of the interviewing tables, then hand it in to one of the others. Okay? Now, we're waiting just a moment to get the word for you to release. You've been great. I appreciate you coming. You know, you guys are pioneers. This is the first time these classes have ever been tried, and we believe that you've led the way for a lot of young people in other cities across America who will also have these classes. So thank you for being pioneers.